The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
We are so grateful, Father, that not only did you love us so much that you sent your Son, but you also gave your word, Father, that so we could have life and life more abundant. And I thank you today that we are receivers of your word, Father. We hear your word, we understand your word by your Spirit, and we know how to walk in your word by your Spirit. We thank you and we praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get started on the whole how-to, you have to know I'm a very procedural person. I like to know why and how. My husband's the visionary, and I'm the how-to. So when you hear me talk, you're going to hear a lot of how-tos. Because when I was growing up, one of the most frustrating things was hearing something from the Word, gaining that knowledge, but not knowing how to make it come to pass in my life. So he just ended up being frustrated and feeling like a bad Christian because I didn't know how. So for me, it's the how. I appreciate the how so much. And the why. Girls like to know why, right? I like to know the why. And one of the things that we need to understand for the why we need to be, there's many reasons for being fruit inspectors, but for the why, we're going to look at in 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 4 in the King James. Scripture tells us, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. God warns us that as the end times grow closer to the end, there's going to be a lot of deception. All you have to do is look around and know that there are people struggling to know which bathroom to use. The level of deception is intense. And there's deception across the board. Of course there's deception in the world because they don't have the Holy Spirit. But there are deceptions in the church too. And we need to be able to know how to discern when something is deception. In Proverbs 14, 12 through 16 in the Amplified, it says, there is a way which seems right to a man and appears straight before him, but at the end of the way is death. Most of the time, when we're talking Christians, most of the time, Christians do not go down wrong paths or make plans that aren't good on purpose. We really do want the Lord. We want to follow that good path. We want to do what's right. But remember, Satan is a deceiver, and he does not come with his pitchfork and his horns breathing fire at us. He comes as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And it is no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So to us Christians anyway, Satan is really not going to come, right? He's going to come in hidden ways, in ways that look right, but aren't necessarily. And how do we know? One of the best ways is by being able to use the fruit of the Spirit as a guideline. But we'll get there. Christians most often are tripped up by good things rather than God things. Things that look good, they sound good, they worked for someone else, they worked before. But if it isn't something that comes from a place where the Lord told us to do it, if it doesn't fit criteria in the Word, then it's not a God thing. Doesn't even mean necessarily that it's a sin. Again, Christians aren't, you know that it's not right to kill. You know that it's not right to steal. You know, we know that. So those are not the places that the enemy comes at us. They're more deceptive and hidden. One of the really big ones, guys, and having grown up in church and been around churches and church people my whole life, is the doctrines of man. Mark 7:13 in the Amplified first says, thus, you are nullifying and making void and of no effect the authority of the Word of God through your tradition, which you in turn hand on, and many other things of this kind you are doing. In the Common English Bible, I just really liked how it broke it down. That same Mark 7:13, it says, in this way, you do away with God's word in favor of the rules handed down to you, which you pass on to others. And you do a lot of other things just like that. So many times, I have experienced this myself, and I have seen it happen where doctrines are formed, ways of doing things are formed in the Christian church, and we focus on that, and that becomes the primary way of doing things and way of thinking rather than what the Lord says. And those ones to me seem like the most dangerous because we're doing them because we think they're right. So we hang on to them very hard because we think we're doing the right thing. And that's the thing about deception. You don't know when you're deceived. It's not like you walk around going, I'm deceived and I'm so happy. No, that's not where we're at. And so those doctrines of man really sideline the Word of God. So we have to be very open to the Holy Spirit based on Scripture guiding us out of those broken beliefs that were passed down to us. We have to be, because we hang on to those because we want to be right, we have to trust the Lord that He will take care of us as we walk out of those misconceptions and trust that He will show us the right way by His Spirit through His Word. That's a scary one for a lot of Christians, and I encourage you. This was something I started doing, in my 20s. I started asking the Lord to reveal the areas that I had misconceptions. And for me, that was terrifying because doing the wrong thing was very scary to me. I married my husband, and he's willing to try anything and doesn't worry about doing the wrong thing because he figures he'll get there. So he's kind of broken me of that. But in the beginning, the fear of doing the wrong thing, the fear of disappointing the Lord, the fear of making the Lord angry with me because I didn't understand who He was yet, so I thought He would get angry at me. All of those things really held me to what I had learned as a youth. And I had to walk through that process with the Lord of, I trust You, Lord, I trust You. And you said You're not going to drop me. You're not going to mislead me. So I trust You to take me through that process. So I encourage you because most of us are coming from something. I encourage you because as you grow with the Lord, you're going to grow in your understanding of His Word and how to apply it. That means when you start, you're going to be a kid in the Lord. And you're going to make mistakes and you're going to have misunderstandings. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what it is to be a kid. But then as you walk on with the Lord, your understanding will grow, broaden, and your ability to hear the Spirit, trim off the stuff that isn't scripturally based, and walk forward into freedom is going to grow. It's the best ever because when we walk with the Lord, it is a walk of freedom. It absolutely is. Let's look quickly at 2 Timothy 12:15 in the Amplified. It says, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Monty always says, let's play Sesame Street with the Bible. If God is telling us that we need to study and be eager to correctly analyze and accurately divide the word, that means it can be wrongly analyzed, wrongly divided, and wrongly applied. And so we need to know that the Holy Spirit leads us into truth, and we need to know that we can trust Him. And then we need to start taking those steps one by one, trusting Him, being willing to hear things a different way, being willing to have a different understanding, always based on Scripture, led by the Holy Spirit. So that was the really long introduction. Really long. We're going to look at one more piece that leads us right into fruit. And this is kind of goes along with those doctrines things. The Lord really warns us to test our leaders. Matthew 7:15-20 says, beware of false prophets who come to you dressed as sheep, but inside they are devouring wolves. You will fully recognize them by their fruit. Do people pick grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every healthy, sound tree bears good fruit, worthy of admiration. But the sickly, decaying, worthless tree bears bad, worthless fruit. A good, healthy tree cannot bear bad, worthless fruit, nor can a bad, diseased tree bear excellent fruit worthy of admiration. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Therefore, you will fully know them by their fruits. And look in that, when God repeats himself, he really wants us to pay attention. He really wants us to catch that. You will know them by their fruit. So let's look at Galatians again, and let's look at that fruit. Galatians 5, 22 through 25 in the Amplified. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper and forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, which is meekness and humility, self-control, self-restraint, and continence. Against such things there is no law that can bring a charge. And those who belong to Christ Jesus the Messiah have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature with its passions and appetites and desires. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward, walking in line, our conduct controlled by his Spirit. So that was really wordy, but it was really, really, it really opens up to us what needs to be coming out of us and how to judge those around us. So let's take it personal first. Whether you're coming up against a situation or a person, and something comes out of you, and it doesn't fit with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control, it's outside of the Spirit. It's not being led by the Spirit. So right there, so questions. Ask the Lord questions. Badger him with questions, because we need to know what's inside of him to help us change. So, for example, if I have a child that I'm trying to direct, and we are coming up again, we are butting heads, and I had some, and we are just, and you know your child needs to be guided and directed by you. That's your job, right? But you know you get frustrated over time, or you know you've got 12 things going on, and you react outside of the fruit of the Spirit, that's not going to produce anything good. So you have to pull back, and there are some children who need this more than others, and you have to go, Lord, I'm not acting in the Spirit towards this child. How do I act in the Spirit towards this child? How do I have the fruits of the Spirit with this child and still guide and direct them as is my responsibility? You can always look at areas in your life, whether it's situations or interactions with people, and when something other than the fruit of the Spirit is coming out, you know there's something you need to dig deeper for. You need to go to the Lord and go, why did anger come out? Why, when someone does something when I'm driving, is my instant response anger? Or why, when my spouse says X, Y, and Z, I A, B, and C? Because without finding out the core of why you react that way, you won't be able to engage with the Spirit and use and function in the fruits of the Spirit. And so it's such an excellent guideline to go, wait a minute, I'm going to inspect this fruit here. Thou, it's not of the Spirit. Why not, Lord? And we do the same thing with people around us, with our leaders. Is their life one of the Spirit? Do I see fruit of the Spirit all the time? Well, obviously you're not going to see it all the time, because none of us are perfect. But do I see them living that way and growing in that? And if I don't, Lord, how do I need to handle this? There are so many relationships in the world, from yours and your spouses and your children's and your siblings and parents out to the world, the lady at the cashier, where you can use this guideline to know how you need to handle yourself, the steps you need to take. There are some relationships where none of this is going on, and you have to pull back and go, Lord, am I supposed to be in this relationship? Am I supposed to be this close to this person? Are these friends treating me with this, the fruit of the Spirit, or are they treating me in a different way, and it's harming me? Do I need to take a step back? And we can use this in every situation to guide us. And then we ask the Lord, what do I do with this information now? How do I handle this? What's my next step? And going back to inspecting our own fruit, I would, you know, obviously the relationships that you're closest in, the familial ones, are the ones you're really going to see. The fruit of the Spirit or the lack thereof, because being with family and being together all the time rubs the rough edges off and reveals the wounds and the baggage that the Lord's like, hey, that was a yucky response. That didn't come anywhere near what we're supposed to be doing. Why? Why didn't it? Because the Lord wants to heal all the parts in us that are broken. He wants to free us from all the baggage that we carry around. And if we don't see the fruit of the Spirit, we know there's something in there. And He, by His Spirit, will take us along that path, show us. And remember, this is the funny thing about the Lord. He doesn't tell us to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit to people who are also exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. Who here knows what I mean when I say Ralphie Joe? Okay, not very many of you. We have lots of new faces, so I must explain, because you know families have their inside jokes, and this church family has their inside Ralphie Joe joke. Okay, so my husband was teaching about how we treat each other, how important it is, and he was searching for a name that he didn't think anybody in the world would have, and he came up with Ralphie Joe to represent the people in our lives that really get under our skin and can send us from 0 to 60 in, you know, no time. So Ralphie Joe it was. So when you hear us say Ralphie Joe, that's what we're talking about. However, my aunt, all the way from Minnesota, came and visited, and we were talking about Ralphie Joe in service. And she comes up later, and she says, you have a Ralphie Joe in your church, too? So apparently there is a Ralphie Joe in the world, and we are not talking about him. Apparently he is a very nice person. But when you hear us talk about the Ralphie Joes in the world, it's the people who just get under our skin. So the Lord does not require us to only function in the Spirit when people are acting right, treating us well. In fact, the thing that makes us different from the whole world is that by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, we function in the Spirit regardless of how people treat us. It's a most beautiful, beautiful gift to be able to give these fruits when something else is thrown at us. But I guarantee you, it takes engaging with the Spirit, using His power, His love, and our relationship with Him to be able to do that. You know, in a marital relationship, that's a big one. You don't get really any closer to someone on earth than husband and wife. And generally speaking, you're polar opposites. Because the Lord has a sense of humor and sees balance in polar opposites coming together, right? So when your spouse is coming at you with something that is not of the Spirit, to be able to respond to them with the fruit of the Spirit is truly miraculous. And it's miraculous in so many ways. But let me just tell you something. And quickly, we're not talking about abusive relationships here, guys. We never condone abuse. We do not encourage you to stay in an abusive situation. But we're talking about two people who are moving forward in the Lord together who are human. And you bump up against each other. And you both have baggage. Think about it this way. If you respond in kind to someone, how do they feel safe? How do they feel strengthened? How do they feel like there's hope and a way to go forward? Because when we're caught in our humanness, in our hurts, in our baggage, in our bad experiences, we have to have a safe place to grow out of them. And our spouse needs to be the safe place where we can be kind of crappy while we grow out of it. That's not condoning staying where you're at forevermore. But we have to be able to extend the fruit of the Spirit to our spouse while they're growing. And the reason I can talk about that is because that's what my husband has done for me. All of us come into relationships with baggage, and we don't even necessarily realize it. And he forevermore was patient and kind and didn't push me, and he didn't try to change me. Oh, he would share with me whatever he needed to share with me. But I always knew I was safe with him because he didn't put me down. And it took me years to trust him in that, to where I could finally start changing. But I had to have the safe place. And now, you know, we flipped back and forth with that because he has his areas and I used to react to his areas, right? And then I learned that wasn't right. Fruit of the Spirit. And then I had to go through the process of getting rid of my baggage. And then when he would come with his stuff, it wouldn't bother me anymore. And I would be like, you know what? I can be like him. I can just be patient. I can just encourage him. I can just support him. This is part of his walk. He'll get there because I trust the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And it's a beautiful thing when, whether we're talking marriage or we're talking kids or you know, boss or whatever it is, when you can extend that. And again, we don't do it perfectly because we're all a work in progress. But the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us is truly miraculous, and he through us can do it. So I encourage you to use the fruit of the Spirit to be one of your guidelines in your life. Whether it's you personally, those around you, use what God has set up to help you understand the areas that need work and extend that gift to the people around you. Because we truly are different than the whole world. You can't do this without the Holy Spirit. But when you do this, I guarantee you the world looks at you and envies you and says, how? How are you doing this? Why are you happy? How are you overcoming these things? Huh, let me tell you. I have Jesus. He put his Holy Spirit inside of me, and therefore I can be like him and share him in my day-to-day interactions. There just aren't words to express the beauty of being able to function in these. Remember, it's a process. We all start in kindergarten. You might be really good at this in one area and then be a kindergartner in another. That's just humankind. We have areas that we really can function and flow. We've worked on them. We've grown in them. And then something comes up and we're like, well, back to the beginning, and we're going to start at kindergarten, and then we're going to move to first grade, and we'll grow in that. But that's walking with the Lord. He is taking us out of bondage and into freedom all the time in every area. Yes. So I hope that encourages you. I hope you can take that home and start applying it to the areas of your life that you know aren't quite working the way they should. They're bumpy. Because it will change those areas. It will absolutely change those areas. Yes, we are doing communion today. Yes, sir. So we're going to go ahead and get those cups passed out.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea.
my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you, oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Love will lead me through. You are the peace.